The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America. Streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in with you on this day, and it is Wednesday. We're getting ready for, right around the corner, the next tournament on the PGA Tour, which, of course, is the FedEx St. Jude Classic, taking place at the TPC Southwind in Memphis, Tennessee. And Memphis, Tennessee also just happens to be the stomping grounds in days past for our own Frank Bassett. So he made the trip down from Nashville to Memphis, and that's where he's at right now. He's actually in the media center, and we bring him into to the show right now. Frank, how you doing? How was your trip down to Memphis?
Good morning, Tim. It was great. The trip was a lot of fun. I had a truck jackknife in front of me. A tire blew out on 40 coming into Memphis at 70 miles an hour, so I got to see how my car would do in the dirt. So the secret is in the dirt, as Ben Hogan said. And yeah, it was exciting. But it's good to be back in Memphis. I grew up here, right outside of here, whatever. Yeah. You know, went to school here and college just down the road at Ole Miss. And just a lot of old friends, talked to a lot of people since I've been here. Going to head out to Poncho's and get some of that cheese dip to take back. I bought two Yeti coolers. I'm going to fill them up, baby, and take my Poncho's cheese dip home. But it's great to be back at the 59th FedEx St. Jude Classic. Yeah. Years and years ago, Al Geiberger, as you know, at Colonial Country Club, shot a 59 with Persimmon Woods and a pro compression, 100 compression Titleist Balata golf ball, and played the same golf ball the entire round when he won that tournament.
Hard to believe.
And that still goes down as probably the greatest 59 of all time. But Southwind is a special place, too, in Memphis, again. What a special place. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, an incredible place. It's a very humbling. You have to rehydrate from all the tears that flow, honest to gosh, when you go in there and see the kids. And, of course, the FedEx organization and Fred Smith and his company do an incredible job supporting this event and have for many, 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 I think 31 years. Okay. 31 years. But joining me, is he's taking a few minutes off of his smoking golf cart out there because he's running all over the course, managing his team, is the new tournament director of the FedEx St. Jude Classic, Daryl Smith. Daryl, welcome to Golf Talk America.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's great. We're off to a great start during tournament week here at the 59th FedEx St. Jude Classic, and got a little inner workings pro-am going on today, and so it's off to a great start and dialed up some great weather.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Tim, it's beautiful outside, by the way. Daryl, you dial it up. I mean, the humidity's down.
Yep, I'm taking all the credit for that one.
Yeah, everybody's talking. I was out on the range talking to Cameron Tringali and Graham McDowell this morning and some other fellas, and they all said, this is not typical Memphis weather. This feels pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's going to heat up a little bit this weekend. We don't want to get them too comfortable here in Memphis with with these 80, 82, 83-degree highs, but it's going to warm up this weekend a little bit. But it's a blessing to have clear skies and dry conditions. And that's what it looks like the rest of the week. So on the weather front, we're going to be good and have a nice field there with Phil Mickelson playing us for the fourth consecutive year, along with 2012 champion Dustin Johnson and, of course, Brooks Koepka, among others. So we're real excited with where we are and look forward to a fabulous week.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Now, Harris English is playing here again this year, and he was the champion, I believe, two years ago?
Yeah, 2013.
2013, yeah, 3,000. And Harris, I mean, he loves the golf course. He loves Memphis. And all these guys, I have to tell you, Tim, when you talk to the players, Memphis has some doggone good food. I mean, it'll rival any city in the country. This probably and the tournament in New Orleans are the two most fun tournaments to come to from a food standpoint because of how you guys – set it up out there, Daryl.
We try to sell our city. You know, we want to sell city of Memphis to people, and we got some great things happening in our city that we want to celebrate, and we got two Memphis companies that have impacted the world in FedEx and St. Jude, and that's pretty special to have those two companies with us, and also all the fun things that we're doing in the city with different activities, and food is one of those things. Harris English, last year he called me at the 11th hour trying to get a reservation into one of our hot restaurants, which we were able to accommodate. And, you know, when these players come to Memphis and they get out and see our city, and they grow to like it real quick. You know, they actually fall in love with it. And Harris is a prime example. He's a huge Memphis Grizzlies fan.
Oh, yeah.
So we text back and forth during the NBA season, NBA playoffs. Unfortunately, the Grizzlies didn't advance as far as they usually do, but
don't get Tim started on basketball.
All right,
good Lord.
Yeah,
go ahead.
We'll get off that basketball bandwagon. But no, it's you know, when we get some of these younger guys to come to Memphis and experience Memphis for the first time, we want to show them a good time, and we want to show them what we're so proud of here at the FedEx St. Jude Classic, and also the city of Memphis.
We should. You know, one of our good friends, Tim, your close personal friend and co-host, Paul Stankowski. I don't know if Paul played Memphis, didn't he, before?
He has.
He has played here.
Yes. He has.
We should have gotten Paul an exemption to get over here and play. We could have gotten. He has exotic belts and wallets and things. We could.
I see him.
We could bribe him.
Yeah, I see him on Twitter and Facebook with some belts and belts and shoes or what, all those exotics that he's pitching nowadays. Yeah. For sure.
Stanky's going to be on with us here in about 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, he's coming on right to this, and we'll ask him about that. But Darryl, I do want to ask you and tie this in with your great tournament, but also what's happening next week. Is it an advantage? I think this is 10 straight years now that FedEx St. Jude's has been right before the U.S. Open. Do you enjoy that position on the tour? Certainly guys are going to come and tune up their game and work on it, but others are going to choose to go to Oakmont in this case or go somewhere else and work on their game. Is it an advantageous position for the St. Jude Classic to be in, or would you rather be somewhere else on the schedule?
You know, I mean, we talk a lot about our date. I mean, we're talking every single year about our date and what we think about our date, and if there's opportunity to go to another date. And I think the synopsis of it is that we're always looking to improve. I mean, you know, if we think there's a better date out there, we will want to explore that regardless if it works out. But I think for the most part, we are very happy with our date. I mean, I think if you asked us 4 years ago, would we have Phil Mickelson for four consecutive years in a different date, we would not. But like you said, the pendulum has swung back that a lot of guys are playing the week before the U.S. Open. You know, Jordan Spieth, Jason Day, those guys tend to take the week off. So it's something that we talk about often. And, you know, we'll explore it if we have the opportunity to explore it, and we'll see what happens. But I think for the most part, we're very, very happy with our date. We think it's been more advantageous being before the U.S. Open versus being later in the calendar year. You know, in Memphis, it can get a little warm later in the summer.
Understatement.
Yeah, understatement. So we actually don't really want to go too late in the summer. At the same time, the golf course needs more growing time than it has right now. But Jim Thomas and his team do a phenomenal job out there on the golf course. It's a phenomenal shape. But this golf course is in its best shape September and October. A lot of things to think about. A lot of things to think about as we move forward with the FedEx St. Jude Classic. But we're happy with our date, and if we have the opportunity to explore moving a date, we'll definitely look at that.
Yeah, we're talking with Darryl Smith, and Darryl is the tournament director of the FedEx St. Jude Classic, and is with Frank at the media center the day before. Today is Pro Am Day. Is that a good day, Darryl? Is it kind of relaxing for you, or you got a lot of stuff spinning around even on Pro Am Day?
You know, it's been fairly calm this morning, but there's still a lot of the day left, so I don't want to get too far out.
It's calm because the sun just came up like half an hour ago.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've been here since 4:15, so I mean, it's pretty calm right this minute. But it's a good day. I mean, we have our biggest corporate partners are on the golf course playing with the top 52 players in our field. So it's one of the most important days, if not the most important day for us as a tournament. You know, to have our corporate partners out there experiencing a fantasy golf experience, like, you know, you can't shoot free throws with LeBron James or anything like that. So it's an important date for us to, you know, really engage our customers with the PGA Tour professionals. But right now it's pretty relaxed, and we're just kind of seeing what we live by minute right
now. Well, you have three Pro-Ams here. Is that correct?
We have two Pro-Ams.
Oh, I'm sorry, two Pro-Ams.
Yep.
Okay. So yesterday was
Monday was the Danny Thomas Pro-Am.
Right, the Danny Thomas Pro-Am. Okay.
Yeah.
I was confused. I thought there were three this year, but because you have so many people that want to play in the Pro-Am,
right,
it's always
right.
Totally booked. I told Darryl earlier, Tim, I said, look, if there's a spot this afternoon, you need a filler. I mean, I'll be happy to, you know, my clubs are in the trunk. I'll just run out there. But
I've had a couple people tell me that. I actually had Penny Hardaway, who's a Memphian, come up to me and say, hey, if you need any help this afternoon or someone drops out, let me know.
So, well, Sybil Shepherd was going to caddy for me.
Okay, whatever. But, that's an oldie but goodie.
Yeah, she's a Memphian. Well, it's better than Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, exactly.
But now, is it true that they always leave two tickets for Elvis and a guest at Will Call for this tournament? Phil Cannon, the old tournament director here, told me last year, you know, we always leave tickets for Elvis.
I want to say that's probably true, but I haven't got the memo to do that yet. So I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. So, yeah, I'll go back in our office and send two over for sure.
Send two over, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
no doubt.
Darryl Smith is a great young man. I met him yesterday. I did not get a chance to meet him last year. And he filled some shoes, some pretty big shoes to fill. Of a tournament director that had been here for a lot of years, who's suffering with some health issues, but everybody raves about you, your whole team. They talk about how great you are, and yeah, it's good to be here. Thank you for your hospitality in Memphis, man. We're loving it. What nugget do we need to take away from this golf course? What little nugget that do you have hidden that nobody would know?
From the golf course competition side, or just from the event side?
Oh, both.
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, first off, you got to go get a Pronto Pup.
They're awesome.
You get a Pronto Pup, but that's kind of our staple food item here. And it's not a corn dog, but it's kind of like a corn dog. But don't call it a corn dog; call it a Pronto Pup. so that's pretty confusing. But you got to do that. But you know, I think the staple is just, you know, how good our golf course is. You know, that's one of the things that I hear over and over by the PGA Tour players is that this golf course is. You know, I had a caddy tell me yesterday. He said, "There's been a lot of talk that this is the most underrated TPC on the schedule." He said, "I don't think that. I think it's one of the most underrated golf courses that we play on the PGA Tour schedule."
What a
he
compliment!
Said, I don't think the TPC label needs to be associated with the golf course. As far as, you know, why break them out? It's just one of the best golf courses we play. Period. And there was a prominent caddy who said that. So. You know, I just think the golf course is so good, especially on the back nine coming down Saturday and Sunday. It just doesn't let up, but it's fair. You know, it's not going to be a birdie fest, but it's going to reward great shots. It's going to reward good play, and it's going to penalize bad play. So it's just an exciting finish, and we hope it, you know, come Saturday and Sunday, there's some marquee guys up on that leaderboard, and it's coming down to two or three or four or five, how many there might need to be. But hopefully the golf course will be challenging, but yet fun and entertaining.
Yeah, I was out. I ran around the golf course early this morning. I got here very early, Tim. I got up very early. Went to bed early.
Good for you.
And just grabbed a cart and took off and just ran around the course. And it is in immaculate condition. So there can be no complaints from the players this week.
Yeah, I mean, I heard I was with Harris yesterday. He went down to St. Jude. I mean, you mentioned St. Jude's such a special place. But Harris has gone down to St. Jude for us several years in a row now to the Tuesday event called the St. Jude Golf Around. And you know, PGA Tour pros go down there, and they get to interact with patients, and play miniature golf, and you know, if it's arts and crafts, whatever it might be, but they get to do all that stuff. And Harris is like, man, the greens are unbelievable. And of course, that's where the focus is on the putting surfaces. So we were glad to hear that. And of course, Harris has won here, so there's a lot of good mojo there as well. So Jim Thomas and his crew doing a phenomenal job, and you know, a little Memphis heat and can change a lot on the golf course too. So we're excited about kind of about the weekend and seeing how the golf course takes a turn, continues to improve.
All right, Darryl, thanks so much for being with us. We do appreciate it, and best of luck for another successful year with the FedEx St. Jude Classic. And I'm sure that Frank will take you up on your challenge to set the record of one-day Pronto Pup eating.
There we go.
Frank, the record's probably about a dozen, so you got to go like 13, 14 today.
Hey, Nathan's has nothing on us, pal. Nathan's has nothing on us. I'm ready. Darryl, thank you so much for being with us.
Yep.
We appreciate it. And best of luck to you and all of your efforts. We applaud them.
All right. Thank you so much.
That's a great tournament. Thanks
appreciate
for having us.
Bye.
I love that about every regional place, Frank. It's a Pronto Pup. Don't call it a corn dog. And you're like, well, what's it like? Well, it's pretty much like a corn dog. Like, okay, we call it a corn dog?
No, it's not.
It's a pronto pup.
It's a pronto pup. That was in perfect harmony. That was good.
Made out of little doggies. All right, hey, let's take a quick break. We talked about it earlier. Paul Stankowski is going to join us, talk about his experiences in Memphis. Also, his experiences just two tournaments away, or one tournament after this, the U.S. Open, his first tournament at the U.S. Open. His first U.S. Open experience, Frank, for Paul, was at Oakmont in 94. How ironic is that? And here they're going back to the grand old lady itself, Oakmont, once more. So let's take a quick time out. You're listening to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour, PGA Tour Radio. Hello. And when we come back, we'll be joined by PGA Tour veteran Paul Stankowski. So stay with us. Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in with you on this Wednesday. It's the 8th of June, and it's the day before everybody tees it up for good for the FedEx St. Jude Classic. Today's Pro-Am Day, and our own Frank Bassett is down in Memphis in the media room, actually, at the TPC Southwind. And he'll be joining us, has been joining us, and he'll be joining us here with our conversation with our wonderful guest that is with us and happened to find time in his very, very busy schedule to talk with us. And that's Paul Stankowski, PGA Tour veteran. Also, you hear him on PGA Tour Radio. Paul Stanky, how are you doing today? Everything good?
Things are good, Mr. Matthews.
All right. Perfect. Perfect. Well, let me ask you this. First of all, last time we talked to you, you dropped a bit of a bomb on us that you had a heart attack scare. And that doesn't diminish that it was a heart attack, but you obviously survived and you got to the hospital and it was pretty dramatic. You and I talked about it for a while afterwards. How's your health now? How are you feeling?
I feel great, man. I
good.
I got the blood pressure of a teenager now due to some really good blood pressure medication. And I feel great. I do. I've lost I'm holding on 9 pounds. So it's a great weight loss program to just have a heart attack and it'll scare you into losing some weight. I do. I feel really good. I've been back in the gym and spent Memorial Day weekend with my wife in the backyard landscaping. So, moving mulch and topsoil and stones and all that kind of stuff. So it was good. It was a good test. It was hot. We got her done. And so that was good. But nice. I feel great.
Good. Glad to hear it. And we're going to talk about the U.S. Open coming up in just a little bit because you have some history there and some relative history to Oakmont and how things went for your experience at Oakmont. And looking forward to next week when all the big boys show up at Oakmont for the next edition of the U.S. Open. Let me ask you, though, about the St. Jude Classic in Memphis. What's your history there? You've played almost every stop on tour or pretty much all of them. Any good memories of Memphis?
Oh, lots of good memories. I love Memphis. I was a big fan of TPC courses because they are always a little more generous than your regular golf course and off the tee anyway. And my very first time in Memphis was 1994. And I think I finished sixth or eighth. There was a top 10. And I remember that year, I always used to carry two quarters in my pocket and the years had to be somewhere in the 60s. So from 65 to 69. And that year, I think I had a 66 and a 69 in my pocket. And the first 3 days I shot like 67, 69, 68. And so I was pretty confident that the last round I was going to shoot 66. So cover the spectrum of my pocket. And I did. And I finished top 10. It was top, I think, an eighth or sixth, but good. And I've had a lot of nice events there. I don't think I've ever had a top five that I remember, but I seem to play well there. They used to have bent grass greens and it was really, it was like shooting darts into the greens there. And then they switched them to Bermuda and they are some of the best putting surfaces to be putt on. Growing up in California, I didn't putt on much Bermuda grass. And then in 1987, right, when I was in college, I played in Florida in Gainesville, and it was my first foray on Bermuda grass, like real Bermuda grass. And I was like, what the heck is this stuff? it's come a long way since that, the old, back in the 80s, Bermuda. So the greens there, I don't know if they're Mini Verde or Champions or Tiff Eagle, but they're unbelievable. And it's a little warm in Memphis, though, this time of year. Yeah. I'm not sure if you know that. And humidity's up to a tick, but that's the only bad part. About playing in Memphis, but great food, great people, great fun golf course, and good times.
Okay, well, let me ask you about the U.S. Open, your experience with U.S. Opens. Your first U.S. Open was back in 94, and you played, ironically enough, at Oakmont. where they're going back to next week. Tell us a little bit about that first-time experience. Everybody talks about Oakmont in hushed tones, and normally all U.S. Open venues, they kind of do. Oakmont has a little bit of a special feel about it. I was talking with our friend Steve Johnson yesterday. He said that the word is that the fairways are averaging about 26 yards wide, and that if you're in the rough, it's like hitting out of steel wool. It's just a mash of long grass that you can't even hope to get more than about 20 yards advancing the ball. What was your experience at Oakmont? Were you intimidated that first time in 94?
You know, in 94, in general, I was intimidated. I was a rookie on the PGA Tour, and coming from the Golden State Tour out in California, where the crowds were, people's parents and, girlfriend, to, the PGA Tour was mind-boggling. And then to qualify for the U.S. Open and to step foot at Oakmont, I wasn't a historian. I still am not a golf historian. I couldn't tell you much about designers and, I'm just not that guy, And so I walked into Oakmont. I had heard about it, but I didn't know the history behind it. And ironically, it was O.J. Simpson week, and the Chase.
That went
down that week. But cool clubhouse, no air conditioning. It was hotter than heck, heat wave in Pennsylvania. They had big fans in the locker room. I walk out to the putting green after registering, and I open up my sleeve of golf balls and drop them onto the side of the green and reach back into my golf bag to whatever, get some tees or whatever it was. And I look back down and my golf balls are gone. And I'm like, what the heck? And I look and they're 30 feet away. They just like the greens were like ice, man. They were so dang fast. I started freaking out right there on Monday. And I said something about it, and I heard I'm standing right next to the ropes and some people are chuckling, and I'm like, what the heck? These greens are fast. And they go, yeah, boy, we slow them down for you guys. What the guy said. So I'm like, that's interesting. But so the fastest putting surfaces, they were pure. And I was intimidated. I missed the cut. I think I shot a couple 75s and I was down the road. But it was Arnie's last U.S. Open. Obviously in his home state. It was, the golf course was hard. The first hole, three putted for bogey. Second hole, three putted for double. Third hole, three putted for bogey. And I'm literally walking off the third green, head down, tail between my legs. I'm thinking, I'm going to shoot 90. I was three putting from like 15 feet. It was crazy.
Wow. 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 That's a great story. And great that you even tied it in with, had that tie-in with Arnie's final time there. We're talking with Paul Stankowski, PGA Tour veteran, also one of the announcers on PGA Tour Radio. You played in a few different U.S. Opens. You had to qualify, as you were saying, on some occasions. What was qualifying like? We just went through that on Monday, and a lot of people trying desperately, tour pros as well as amateurs and whatnot, trying to get into the U.S. Open. Is that almost more gut-wrenching than actually being in the Open, or is that just me thinking that? Because it seems like a lot of times you've got to play 72 holes, two different rounds of 36, and you're trying to be one of two guys out of a field of 50 or 70 or whatever it is. There's got to be a lot of pressure just even trying to qualify to get to the Open.
It's hard, and I think I qualified through my first year in El Paso. I was living there, and so we might have had like 30 people in the field for one spot or something. And then once I got on tour, and got more understanding of what people do and the fact that there's a qualifier in Ohio the Monday after Memorial, and there's a qualifier in Memphis, obviously the same day, cause it's the week of Memphis. Those two spots are chock full of tour pros. And if you look, like that's the place to go watch golf is the U.S. Open qualifier, because you got 36 holes and there's a field of 100 and there's probably 50 to 60 tour pros and guys like, Steve Stricker's in the field. Sure. It's crazy, but there's a lot of guys in the field. You'll see some guys that are 50 in the field, trying to, who are former, major winners or whatever, trying to get after it. Lee Jansen was a 2-time U.S. Open winner, and he's, I don't know if he did it this year, but a couple of years ago, I'm like, and it was for Olympic Club where he won, and they wouldn't exempt him. So he's having to go through it again. He's won the dang tournament twice. So really crazy stuff, hard to do. You got to shoot good numbers. And the crazy thing is that in Ohio and in Memphis, it's like it's hotter than heck, and you got to play 36 holes. That's the part I didn't like about it. I should have just gone to California or Alaska or somewhere where it was, you know, bearable temperature wise. Because 36 holes in one day is a beat down in nice weather, and just, you know, when it's 90 degrees. I did it in Mississippi one year. And I've never been so hot. I stopped sweating after 18 holes. And, I mean, I thought my whole body was going to shut down. Having Waffle
House for sweat.
Breakfast probably didn't help. But it was one of those, it's a hard thing. And you got to shoot a good number. But, and here's the thing about the U.S. Open qualifying. 36 holes in hot weather against great fields, not very many spots. And then if you make it, it's like an opportunity to go get your teeth kicked in. That's what you're trying to do. You're spending all day trying to qualify for an event that's going to kick you right in the teeth. That's the U.S. Open, and got to love it, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. You work so hard, and the ones that are lucky enough to make it, that's just literally the beginning of what could be a very anguish-filled week for a lot of these guys. And they're like, why did I even go through what I went through to qualify? Yeah, just to come here and get punched in the gut. Hey, I'm curious too.
Your confidence a whole lot, that's for sure.
Who are you liking for the Open? You got your eye on anybody that you think is surging at this point or playing well? Spieth, obviously defending champion, but he's looked sporadic. Looked very good at Colonial. Dean and DeLuca then doesn't play very well at all last week at Memorial. I mean, makes the cut and everything, but didn't play exceptionally well, especially on the weekend. Who are you liking? Are there a couple of guys that you got your eye on?
There's two guys I'm picking. And I think I mentioned this before. I'm picking them probably for the rest of my life until they finally win a stinking major. DJ and Sergio. Those are the two guys I'm going to pick. They're going to win something one of these days. But you know what? It's a hard golf. You got to drive it well. You don't have to wear out. Well, I guess you do have to wear out your driver. It's of course, the long hitter. I think a guy like DJ doesn't have to hit driver everywhere. But he drives the ball so good. Not only does he hit it kind of far, he hits it really straight. I watched him play at the Nelson, and he's hitting driver in places that he shouldn't be hitting driver. And I know why he's doing it, because he's trying to get confidence. He's trying to, you know, he's preparing. Those guys who haven't won or they're preparing come a few weeks before the majors for that tournament. And that's the thing that crazy. It's just crazy that a guy can play great, may not win, but he can play great playing one golf course in a completely different way than he would play it if he wasn't prepping for a U.S. Open.
Right.
But I'm picking DJ. I think he's been playing well, and you know, if he does drive it well, he may not be the best putter on the planet, and that could hurt him. But and then there's Sergio, who obviously played pretty well at the Nelson, but more importantly, he's putting better, and he seemed to have a really good attitude. Which, you know, when you're winning tournaments, it's hard to not have a good attitude. But at the same time, he did have a good attitude even as the day started on Sunday, and he was a few shots back. So I'm picking those guys. I think it's going to be a fun tournament to watch. Over par could win, probably will win. But Jordan, you know, the guy putts it so good, he doesn't have to hit it great. And that's the thing. But can you rely on your putting all the time? I don't know. Remains to be seen, but he's been pretty darn good under pressure. But I'm going with Sergio and DJ.
And what would be the keys? If there's a couple of keys or a key at Oakmont, you're familiar with the golf course. And as I said, the word is the fairway is extremely tight. And I'm not saying this is U.S. Open. They do everything pretty severely for any U.S. Open. But Oakmont has got a reputation of being extremely challenging, regardless of them kind of coming in and carving out a U.S. Open track there. Tight fairways, the greens are incredibly fast. So you're talking about a guy like DJ or Sergio driving the ball well, putting well or not putting well. Is there one part of someone's game that really has to be on if you're going to hope to challenge at Oakmont?
You know, it all has to be on. Because if you're not hitting fairways, you're not hitting greens. And if you're not hitting greens, you're not making birdies. And you're going to make bogeys. So you're going to be over par and a lot over par. If you drive it in the fairway, you still got to hit good iron shots. So it's going to take some good solid iron shots, or else you're going to be three putting like crazy on those greens, which are big and have a lot of movement and they're fast. So if you hit good tee shots and then you hit some good iron shots, you got to hit some good putts. But you got to have the mental fortitude. You got to be patient. It's U.S. Open. It's a beatdown. Everyone's going to make bogeys. Guys are going to make doubles. You got to limit your mistakes. So patience comes into play there. You know, the old adage, my old college coach, Cricket Mush, would say, boys, go hit you some fairways, hit you some greens, and make you some putts. And so if you could do that, you got a good chance.
Well, I think that probably goes without saying, and a heck of a wise coach that you had back there at UTEP, because that says it in a nutshell for every tournament, but certainly for Oakmont, we're looking forward to it. Yeah, guys got to be playing well. Guys like me, and I think, Paul, for a lot of the non-pros out there, which is the majority of people watching, love U.S. Open, love British Open, because of the challenge that it presents. Masters is cool because of its history and all that, but it's a pretty wide open court. We love seeing you guys struggle. It makes us feel so much better about ourselves. It's like a guy that's gaining some weight likes to see a bigger, fatter guy around him because he's like, I feel better about my own gut right now. When you see the pros getting the double bogeys and three putting and all the things, I don't know. It's sadistic, but I love it. I love watching the guy struggle.
You know, I get that. I get that. You know what would help tremendously? The guy who actually gets to play in the U.S. Open and gets his teeth kicked in by the golf course. What would be huge is for the USGA and Oakmont to host 144 guys like you on Monday after the U.S. Open and televise it, only stream it only to the PGA Tour guys who played in the event, and then they get to decompress by watching you guys shoot 150 and six putting, where they were three putting. It'll make them feel that much better about themselves.
It would be awfully, you know what? And I think that's it's happened. Certainly, somebody plays Oakmont on Monday. But I know you know Tony Romo. Tony Romo, Cowboys quarterback, I think did something like that one time at Pebble or at Olympic or somewhere. I think in California.
I think it was
the
Torrey
Monday
Pines.
After,
yeah, I think it was Torrey.
Was it Torrey Pines? And he did it with like Matt Lauer or something. He had some kind of a special thing going on. And Romo's a scratch golfer, right, in the amateur world. And I think he shot 85, 86, something like that.
Right.
So,
I do remember that. And that's good. I mean, so if you're a good player, I mean, a good player can still get around, especially if they can get the ball in the fairway. But you miss the fairway, you're hacking it out. One of the things about having really nasty rough, okay, and I get it, it doesn't allow you to get to a green, okay? So you drive the ball in the fairway on a 430-yard par four, okay? And the guy hits it out there 280 because there's no roll. Hits in the rough and stops. So he's got 280. He's got, 150 into the green, right?
Right.
Well, he can't get there, so he takes his little wedge and he hacks it out to somewhere between 150 and 100 yards in, probably closer to 100 yards, somewhere near his number. Now he's got a sand wedge pretty much close to a number to the green. So then he's going to hit that one on the green, probably within 15 feet, and have a chance for par. He's going to make some. He's going to miss some. He's going to make bogey. Okay, what I'd like to see is the rough not super deep, but deep enough to where you're not sure if you can get this on the green. You're not sure if it's going to fly like crazy, you know, because then to a back pin, you try to get at it and it jumps and you hit it 30 yards over the green and you're dead. And then you leave it short. Then you chip that one by and you make double. That's where big numbers come into play. You're going to see a lot of bogeys when the rough is really bad.
Right.
But when you hit it in the rough, you're going to hack it out, and you're going to have a sand wedge or a pitching wedge in your hand, and a tour player with a wedge in their hand is going to hit it, for the most part, within 20 feet. It's going to hit some close. So that's the kind of the give or take there with really deep rough. You know, I think it's kind of boring because the guy just gouges it out and wedges it on the green. I want to see flyers and jumpers, two really fast, firm, hard greens with tough pin positions and makes guys think a little bit more when you're hitting. Like Mickelson last week hit a ball out of the rough and flew the green. I forget what, I think it was on 13, and flew the green by, I don't know, 20 yards and went down the path and went in the hazard over the green. And, I mean, it's just awful. That kind of stuff is fun to watch. I mean, unless you're the one hitting the shot. But it's always fun. It's the U.S. Open.
They throw their club at the caddy. It's all good. It's so much entertaining. You know, I mean, to see all these guys and the frustration that normally these guys are shooting darts and, like you said, going for the mid-60s, upper-60s, and they're struggling just to get pars. I don't know. It's the beauty of the U.S. Open, and it's right around the corner. Hey, Stank, so much. Thanks so much for being with us. Continued good luck and everything with your company. Give us the name of the company again and what you guys do.
Yeah, Francis Edwards. We make custom exotic belts. So if you want something fun and crazy, you know, you want something to match your Lamborghini or your McLaren seats or your Gulfstream seats or, you know what, your whatever. We got colors. We got combinations. Get creative. We can do it for you.
FrancisEdward.com is a website, correct?
There you go. Yeah.
Check
you
it out.
You can't order there, but you can give me a call.
Yeah.
867-5309. Call me. I'll take care of you.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Hope you continue to drop a few pounds and feel a lot better, and I'll be seeing you soon.
Thanks, boys. Take care.
Okay. Take care. Paul Sankowski. Listen to him on PGA Tour Radio. He's one of the guys on there very often, and good insight into the U.S. Open coming up. Also, some good memories for him at as he said, the course you're at, Frank, the TPC Southwind in Memphis. He said, just like you were saying beforehand, when you were talking with Daryl Smith, a lot of the pros think it's one of the best golf courses they play all year long.
Champions Bermuda. It's Champions Bermuda. The crack Golf Talk America staff found that out for us. So, yeah, I had a question for Paul. I should have jumped in, but I was
That's all right.
doing other stuff. But
I'll answer
I really, what's his favorite restaurant in Memphis?
Oh, well, there you go. And he'd have one. Believe me. He does
I
love
know.
Food.
I mean,
yeah, he does love. He's if you follow him on Twitter... Or he'll put, like, tonight's dinner on his Twitter. I mean, he'll put a picture of him grilling or doing whatever. He does enjoy food and eating and preparing food and the whole deal. So I'm sure he would have
I'm going to hold up two Pronto Pups and take a picture of them in a few minutes, and I'm going to tweet them to Stankowski and yourself and Bobby Raymond, our producer, back in Nashville. Yeah. So, hey, by the way, you know, this week, of course, this is the granddaddy, 59th edition of the FedEx St. Jude Classic. Next week in Nashville, Tennessee, during the U.S. Open, there will be the first web.com event, the Nashville Golf Open, held at Nashville Golf and Athletic Club. So that makes three tournaments, PGA-level tournaments, in Tennessee. Knoxville,
right?
Nashville, and, of course, Memphis, which is the granddaddy of the FedEx St. Jude Classic, that we are at in the Media Center.
Very cool. It's
starting to fill up a little bit in here. So, yeah, and then the rest of the team gets in today. Doug Bell, Mark Zacchino, Sylvester, Forsey, and the whole team will be here doing PGA Tour play-by-play beginning tomorrow. So, and we'll all be out eating tonight in your honor, Tim.
You do that. You do that. You probably you should probably be filled on Pronto Pups even getting there, but I'm sure you'll find a little bit of room to put away something wherever you go. A lot of good food in Memphis, that's for sure.
And you know, there's another thing. The Peabody Hotel in Memphis, Tennessee, for our listeners.
Yeah.
It's an old historic hotel, the Ducks, the Peabody Ducks. Everybody knows about the March of the Ducks at the close of the day, where they march them out of the fountain, they march them into the fountain, and then march them out of the fountain at the end of the day and up to their rooftop. What is it called? What do ducks live in?
I don't know.
Blinds? No, they get shot at from blinds.
Yeah, they stay away from blinds.
But it's a really neat thing, the fountain and the Peabody. But on top of the Peabody is a Memphis tradition. Every Thursday evening, on top of the Peabody Hotel rooftop, they have a live band, like a soul band playing with horns and the whole thing. And it's the rooftop party every Thursday night. So when we do our show Friday morning, keep that in mind.
I will definitely keep, that in mind because it's going to be a late night. For you, but what the heck? You're only in Memphis every now and then. It's your old stomping ground, so you got to have a good time, right?
I'm going to run over just briefly today, take a quick break, and run over to Germantown Country Club, which is just right down the road from here, just very close. FedEx is having an executive event there on Friday, but a good friend of mine, one of my best friends from college days, is a member there and has been forever. So we're going to sit down, have a quick bite of lunch, and just bring back old memories and talk about Memphis and the tournament, and then come back over here and get with the rest of the guys and watch the Pro-Am finish off this afternoon. So I'm excited to be here, as you can tell. I love being in Memphis.
Got your day planned. You're all set to go.
I do.
Well, that'll wrap things up for today. I'd like to thank Paul Stankowski for talking with us and giving us a little bit of insight into both Memphis and next week at Oakmont. Also, Tournament Director Daryl Smith giving us a little bit of insight into what to order when you go to the St. Jude Classic, and that is the Pronto Pup.
Pronto Pups.
If you've learned nothing else from us today, you've learned about the Pronto Pups in Memphis. Anyway, thanks to Frank for being with us, and certainly Bobby Raymond for turning the dials and making things happen. I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being with us and listening to us here on Golf Talk America. And please stick around and join us next time on Golf Talk America on PGA Tour Radio.